Now, the professing church has long opposed the teaching that salvation is by grace through faith alone. She teaches that it's by grace through faith and good works, protesting that we who preach salvation by grace through faith alone do not place the proper stress on good works, and that she, the church at large, does place as much emphasis upon grace and faith as we would, of course, question this. But one prominent churchman writes, and I'm quoting, "We worship God by the practice of our religious duties in order to obtain our salvation." Now get that. We worship God by the practice of our religious duties in order to obtain our salvation. To prove that salvation is not received once and for all, and that even the most sincere believer may fall away and be lost, this writer refers to 1 Corinthians 9:27 with the comment, "St. Paul feared that after he had preached to others, he himself might be a castaway." And to this he adds, "To become a castaway or a reprobate can mean nothing less than to suffer the loss of eternal life." So he says, it is obvious that we can fail to be saved after we've begun, and we can fail to persevere. But this is not obvious, for it's simply untrue that to become a castaway can mean nothing less than to suffer the loss of eternal life. We should be careful to notice the context of 1 Corinthians 9:27 and the usage of the word there rendered castaway. Now, Apostle Paul does not say one word here about the salvation of the soul. He's talking about the Christian winning a prize. Furthermore, the word translated castaway, the Greek is adokimos, simply means to be disapproved or disqualified and doesn't necessarily refer to the loss of salvation at all. Its use in 1 Corinthians 9:27 is very significant, for it's the negative of the word translated approved, dokimos, in 2 Timothy 2:15, where Paul encourages Timothy to study to rightly divide the word of truth that he might be a workman approved of God. Paul had no doubt whatever as to the certainty of his salvation, but he was concerned lest, having preached to others about running the Christian race, he himself might be disqualified and failed to receive the prize to be given to those who excel in Christian service. Some, however, declare that we need the ordinances of the church to save us and call our Lord's death a perpetual sacrifice. But this is a flat denial of what the Bible says about the finished work of redemption wrought by Christ at Calvary, so strongly insisted upon in the Holy Word of God. Let me read to you Hebrews 10, verses 11, 12, and 14. Listen. Every priest, that is Old Testament priest, standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever those who are sanctified. Notice that. Once, one offering, one sacrifice for sins. And why did he sit down after he'd offered that one sacrifice? Because the work of redemption was done. The doctrine of Christ's perpetual sacrifice, therefore, is a denial of the finished, all-sufficient work of Christ for redemption, and a denial of salvation by grace through faith alone. Concerning moral works for salvation, Paul says in Romans 4, 4 and 5, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." That is, if you have to work for salvation, you don't get it by grace. Then it's a payment. It's a payment of a debt. But, he goes on, "to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness by God." You remember Abraham? He believed in the Lord, says Genesis 15, 16, "and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness." Why? Well, even then, the death of Christ was in God's mind. He says, "I'm going to pay for all his sins if he'll just leave it to me." And that's what God says to you, my unsaved friends, if you'll just leave it to him. Trust him and you're saved. Titus 3:5 talks about religious works. Ordinances, listen, "not by works of righteousness." And you'll see what he means by works of righteousness as I go on. "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." Just here is where an understanding of the principles and dispensations of God is important. God's holy principles never change, and of course could not. Never in any age could failing human works suffice to blot out one sin or satisfy the demands of a holy God. Good works are what we should do, and we should expect no credit for them, nor can they morally be used to offset our bad works. It's because, contrary to what many people believe, we are inherently bad that we suddenly ask for credit for the good works we do. Now, this is and must be so in every age. Salvation has of necessity always been essentially, actually, by grace through faith. This principle doesn't change throughout the whole Word of God, since God's morality never has changed. But the dispensations of God, His dealings with men, do change through the ages. And through the ages, God has offered various means of approach to Himself, such as blood sacrifices, law-keeping, water baptism, and so on. While, as I say, these ordinances had no saving value in themselves, they were in their day an expression of faith because God required them. Any who refused to approach God in His prescribed way would, of course, have demonstrated that they were void of faith, and it is faith that God requires for salvation. Thus, in Old Testament times, men were not saved partly by grace and partly by good works. They were saved wholly by grace and, get this, wholly by works. Essentially, or actually, they were saved by grace, but instrumentally by works. Or to put it in another way, while these works did not in themselves save the sinner, even partly, they were nevertheless required as an expression of the faith of those who wished to be saved. But now the Old Testament lessons have been taught, and the finished work of Christ has been made known. Works are not even permitted for salvation. This is not difficult for any grace believer to see, for we have never associated the works of the Old Testament believers with merit. But it is difficult for many religious people to see that since they've always viewed works as in some way meritorious, and that it is not meritorious is hard for them to understand. Hence, they see salvation as something to be always hoping for, always striving for, always working for, while actually God says it is the gift of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 6:23. Romans 3:21 says, shows how the Old Testament was done away as God brought in the great dispensation of grace. For here He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Do you believe that, my Christian friend? Oh, many who really trust Christ still think they're under the law. But Paul came and he was the first one to say, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, for God has imputed the righteousness of Christ to the believer. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verses 26 to 28, we declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, Christ's righteousness, that God might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then, he asks? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude, he says, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. This is the word of God on the subject in Romans 3:24 to 28. Romans 4:5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness, as we just told you and read to you a few moments ago. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The writer I mentioned at the beginning of this message says that we say, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved, you're certain of salvation. Christ is your Savior, nothing else matters or is required. Now, on the authority of God's Word, we stand by this statement, just as He puts it. That is, if it be understood that nothing else matters or is required for salvation. as we sing in that blessed hymn, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Many religious people have not learned the great lesson which the law teaches. They seem to think that a general observance of the law is enough, while God says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. You've broken the law. You're a lawbreaker. A murderer is a lawbreaker. A robber is a lawbreaker. So with the law of God, a sinner, no matter what your sin, a sinner is a lawbreaker. And the law demands death as the penalty for sin. Some look upon the law, that is the law of God now, the Mosaic law, as something to keep to be saved. But if we could keep it, we wouldn't need to be saved, would we? Moreover, having broken it, it won't save us to keep it now. For God requireth that which is past. A murderer may say, I promise never to do it again. That doesn't matter. He's already done it. And so with us, we've already sinned. And the function of God's law is to condemn the sinner and show him his need, his deep need of a Savior. Nothing could be plainer in Scripture than God's purpose in giving the law. 1 Timothy 1:9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers, and so on, a long list of sins. Romans 3:19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped, mine, yours, every mouth might be stopped, and all the world might be brought in guilty before God. Romans 5:20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. Romans 7:13, that sin by the commandment might become or be shown to be exceeding sinful. Galatians 3:19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and that seed, we know, is Christ. Nor could anything be plainer than God's declarations that law observance cannot justify from sin. Listen, Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. You want to be saved by the law? You're depending on your observance of the law to save you? You're under a curse, God says. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all of the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And in Galatians 2:21 we read, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead or has died in vain. Nor again could anything be plainer than that God's declarations that salvation is now by faith alone, entirely apart from religion or works. Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye, you believers, are not under the law, but under grace. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Galatians 3:24 and 25, wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, that is, as a principle, as a message, as a dispensation, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, no longer under the law. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, if a man wants to give me a gift, and I say, here, let me give you a dollar for it anyway. It's worth 50. Why, no, I've then bought it. I've given him something for it. No, God says it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. It should be superfluous, beloved, to point out that salvation is salvation, being saved from trouble or misery or some terrible penalty for crime or sin. That's salvation. You don't earn that. The word itself implies the helplessness, the hopelessness of the sinner apart from a Savior. Hence, salvation is and must be by grace, through faith, through believing alone. It is only after we have been saved that we can begin to do works pleasing to God. Have you ever noticed the sequence of those passages, Ephesians 2:8-10, and Titus 3:5-8? It's always salvation first, by grace, then good works after. By grace you save through faith, then out of yourselves is the gift of God, and so on. For we are his workmanship, his creation, created in Christ Jesus, wholly the work of God, now, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Just so, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. But in verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and this I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed might be careful to maintain good works. So many people get the cart before the horse. They look for the fruit before they've set the root. They look for good works from those as yet unregenerated, unsaved. But such good works God cannot and will not even accept. So, my dear friend, I think I've given you a volume of scriptures even here. We're going to go on with this next week, but I've surely shown you from the Word of God that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast, lest any man should place his confidence in something that doesn't exist. Not of works. It is a gift of God. Accept that gift today in your heart of hearts. Say, yes, I believe that Christ paid for my sins at Calvary, and I'll trust him alone for salvation.